It's ESPN.
Hello and welcome to your off-season edition of ESPN Football Today. I am your host slash producer, Jay Soderberg. I'm more of a guide, though. I don't really like calling myself the host, because your host really is Matt Williamson. He's the man with all the answers, questions, what have you. Matt Williamson, how are you?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. We had a draft. We've had a few moves since the draft. We had some moves that happened during the draft that we obviously didn't talk about until we get to them today.
Yeah, I was talking to you every day there for a while. I was getting a little tired of you. Now I miss you. Where you been?
I know. I fell off the face of the earth.
Forgot about me.
One thing, we're basically going to go through division, talking about, you know, ranking some teams and just talking football basically today. And one thing I noticed when I put this together, and I want to pose this to you, is that I think in this day and age of parity, there's a lot of teams where we're going to be like, you know, they're not the worst team in the league, but they're not exactly contenders either.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not sure if people out there saw it, but we were asked to do, Jeremy and I actually were asked to do power rankings so that Todd could put together a mock draft. Rank the teams from 1 to 32 for the next draft. And that's not to say that I thought that team was going to win the Super Bowl or a prediction, but we were just ranking them as a power ranking. That was hard. That was really hard. I mean, it always is. But this year, I mean, let's compare Tennessee, Miami, San Francisco, Arizona. I mean, I could give you 12 teams that are right in the middle there that are awfully hard to rank.
All right. Well, let's try and rank them by division, forgetting the rest of the league, and we're going to start in the NFC West, where the Rams were the number one pick for a reason. The question I have is this.
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Are the 49ers the champions of this division, or did Seattle make a lot of moves to move in there, and where exactly do you put the Cardinals?
Are we ranking these teams in terms of their draft only or where the team sits?
I say overall of what they've done so far this offseason, and obviously the draft was their biggest key move this season.
So just the offseason acquisitions, not where the team is overall.
Right.
Cool. I would put Arizona last then. You know, I thought they had a tough offseason. You lose Kurt Warner, that's going to be a big blow. I mean, I think they had the hardest offseason of any of them. I still think they're a contender in the division. I'm going to pick San Francisco to win this division whenever prediction times come around. But I felt like the rest of the West took, you know, steps forward. You know, you look at the Rams, though, generally speaking, their steps forwards are big picture items. You know, you hopefully got the quarterback of the future. You know, the offensive line looks very secure now. So they still are a long way away, and I'm going to pick them to be last in this division, but they had a very good offseason, which you should if you're the first pick in the draft. You know what I mean?
Right.
Some of the things are expected. You know, did the Lions have a good draft? Yeah, they got McComicon Sue. I mean, that wasn't hard to do, and that's what you should do when you're one of the worst teams in the league. But to their credit, I mean, they have a franchise quarterback now in place, and hopefully he works out for them. Arizona, I felt, had the worst offseason, though, and you know, losing Dansby's big, losing Roll was big. They semi-replaced Roll with Rhodes. You can live with that move, you know. But the end of it is you lose Kurt Warner. You know, Bolden was obviously a loss, too. I can live with Doucette and Breston, and I understand you moved to more of a run-first offense. But there's no way of getting around losing a Hall of Fame quarterback that was playing great and replacing him with a guy that I don't think anybody trusts.
The Cardinals did pick up Alan Faneca this week, who was released by the Jets. Adam Schefter reports that it's a one-year, $2.5 million deal that includes a $300,000 signing bonus and a $100,000 workout bonus. Faneca is going to make another $5.25 million in salary from the Jets, plus a $118,000 workout bonus, giving him earnings this year of roughly $7.9 million. Not too bad for him.
Well, good for him. The Jets are the one that are paying the bulk of it, it sounds like. So, financially, I don't have a problem with it. You know, it's funny because, you know, I talked to our editors yesterday, and we're doing, you know, my scout's eye I do every Monday, and it's just 4 points of things that are going on around the league. And this is one of them was, you know, what should we expect from Faneca? And There's good and bad. First of all, he's a declining player. He is a liability now in protection. He can still open up holes in the run game. He was part of a very good offensive line. But like when he got to the Jets, Mangold at center, he was a left guard, Mangold at center, and the Brickshaw Ferguson at left tackle were young, first-round pick, unproven, vastly talented players that he came in and made better, probably on and off the field. He's got great leadership skills. But now, those two masked his deficiencies as he's got older, and both those guys are two of the better linemen in the league. So I like it in that I think you add another veteran to the Arizona group. Russ Grimm and him are tight. They're buddies from the Steeler days. You know, Wisenhunt obviously knows what they have in the guy. But I don't think it's a need. You know, I thought Deuce Latuhi, honestly, is a similar player who's younger, that struggles in protection and is big and can open holes in run game. Lau Sunline, the center, is a pretty solid player. And Rex Hadnott, I thought, was a good signing as a wide-body run basher, you know, masher. And I thought those three inside were pretty solid. Hadnott could move to center, and Fanica could be the left guard. But I'm assuming Fanica's going to start here, so that leaves somebody out in the cold. And I'm not sure that he's not the worst of all those guys. They're all sort of similar, but I don't know that it was a great move that way, because I don't think he's going to come in and make a big difference. It's not a bad idea, obviously, to create competition, though.
Let's talk about Seattle, because they had a pretty tough season last year with, you know,
fired up.
And then they went out and got this fired up.
I am so fired up.
With Pete Carroll, who, you know, it's obvious that you have a new regime, they're going to make a lot of moves. But, I mean, they've made a lot of moves with a lot of changes.
A lot of moves. And, you know, whenever free agency broke, the season ended, you know, you rank all these teams in terms of what do they need to do in terms of team needs. I thought Seattle needed more than anything. I mean, I thought they had more needs than Detroit or St. Louis. You look at their team, then I thought they needed everything on offense except for a tight end. And that's a lot. You know, that's a big wish list. You know, on defense, I could live with their linebackers and I could live with their defensive tackles. But I thought they needed a safety or two, a corner, defensive end help. And they've come a long way. I mean, I still see some glaring holes. I don't think the defensive end position is at all adequate. I still think receivers needed, even with a Golden Tate. I don't love their running backs. I don't think Lendell White is the answer at all. I mean, I don't think he's a good football player, and everyone's excited that he's going back with Pete Carroll. But they did add a potential quarterback of the future. They have the left tackle to build around. They have a potential star free safety now. So they've vastly knocked down their needs. I still think they're a long way away. I think, you know, this is like a 6-10 type of team.
Interesting. All right. That's the NFC West. We'll move on. The AFC East, where I believe the Jets are now being that new team that's getting crowned. The Pats draft for me was just so-so. The Dolphins have made a bunch of big moves, and they're in the news, which we'll get to in just a second. And you had the Bills in your power rankings as picking number one next year's draft. Let's start here with the Dolphins and the news that came out where GM Jeff Ireland apologized to Dez Bryant for asking if his mother was ever a prostitute during a pre-draft interview. The NFLPA executive director, Damore Smith, spoke out about this, saying, "We need to make sure the men of this league are treated as businessmen. During interviews, our players and prospective players should never be subjected to discrimination or degradation stemming from the biases or misconceptions held by team personnel." The Dolphins owner, Stephen Ross, also issued a statement saying, quote, "As an owner of many companies and organizations, including Miami Dolphins, I've always strived to comply with the highest standards in all aspects of my businesses, including recruiting." My question is this. Are we making a big deal out of nothing? And two, isn't this a legitimate question to ask of a prospective NFL player?
I was thinking the same thing. I mean, I don't think you ask every NFL player that. You know, like if you were to come in, I wouldn't say, "Hey, Jay, is your mom a prostitute?" You know, I'd think if there's speculation or there's a chance that that's true, or if she was picked up on a charge or something. I mean, they do such crazy, intense background checks. that there must have been a reason you ask this. I mean, if you're just asking it to get under the kid's skin and see how he reacts, which I think there are teams that do that. You know, they just want to see how you react in a pressure situation when you infuriate them. Well, then I'm not in favor of that. But if there's reason to believe that she is or was, I think that's something you can ask if worded properly.
I mean, I guess that's what it comes down to. And I heard Colin Cowherd on The Herd on ESPN Radio talk about this yesterday. You know, if he just came right out and said, hey, was your mother a hooker, then that's obviously inappropriate. But if he asked it in a respectful way and, you know,
we have reason to believe
led up to the question, I think it shows, you know, A, what his upbringing, you know, find out what his upbringing was, how difficult was it actually living. You know, I think you can find out a lot by the answer to that question.
Right, and many of these players grew up with extenuating, brutal circumstances with, you know, one parent who was a drug addict or all sorts of different things. You know, Darnell Dockett had a brutal upbringing, you know, parents were killed and things like that. I mean, it's not uncommon. It wouldn't have been the worst upbringing compared to some of the people who have made it and been successful. I just think that if you're going to invest in somebody, you need to know as much as you possibly can. And if you worded it wrong, well, that's unprofessional, and that person should be reprimanded within the organization. But I think it's information you want to know if there's smoke on the subject.
And I think that's good and bad. I mean, I just recently watched The Blind Side, finally, and Michael Orr seems to be a fine, upstanding citizen/player, but his background is certainly one that I can imagine why he dropped in the NFL draft.
Well, you'd want to know about it.
Right.
I mean, that's the bottom line, is if you're the Ravens or whomever who's considering drafting him when you came out, you want to know that story. I don't have a problem with the question if worded properly.
Let's move on now to the Jets, who I believe we're all crowning, or at least I've heard a lot of people crowning the Jets as the new Kings of the East, and I'm not going to necessarily disagree. The Patriots did just release Adalius Thomas from their team, and the report is out now that says the Jets are actually unlikely to pursue Adalius Thomas, which I find a little bit surprising. What do you think about the Jets?
Well, I think they're forward outside linebacker after signing Jason Taylor, so Thomas is out. If Thomas would have got cut earlier, maybe they would have gone after him, which is maybe why the Pats held him so long. Mm. You know, I bet there's a little bit of gamesmanship there going on, just a hunch. I am going to pick the Jets to win this division, and I'm definitely going to pick the Bills to lose it. I mean, we don't need to talk about them a lot, but I really think they've fallen off a planet in terms of organizations as a whole. You know, it's easy to praise the Jets, and if I had to bet right now who's going to have the best defense in this league, I'll probably take the Jets. I would take the Jets. But they're not without their holes either. I mean, I'm not ready to completely jump on the bandwagon and say this is the best team in football. I'm not 100% believer in Mark Sanchez yet. I don't think you can hide that guy if he is a liability. And I don't know that the running game will be as good as it was a year ago. You know, I would much rather have Sean Green, Leon Washington, Thomas Jones than Sean Green a year older now, Joe McKnight, and LaDainian Tomlinson. And not to mention, now you probably have a hole on your offensive line. We talked about Fanica, but he can still pave the way in the run game. You know, you're going to put a rookie from UMass at left guard. I think there's going to be growing pains there. I mean, Fanica is certainly a veteran that knows the tricks of the trade, and, you know, you can get away with some things. But I really like the addition of Santonio Holmes, but you're only getting him for 12 games. You know, there's a little bit of if and buts with all these guys. I mean, Cromartie was a great pickup. I could see him being tremendously effective, but I could also see him turning down a tackle and Rex Ryan benching him in week 5. You know, they all sort of have warts to them, and the chances of all these guys hitting, I think, are slim. But I still think they're the team to beat right now in the division.
You brought up Vladimir Dukas, and Vinny from Brooklyn wants to know how easy a transition for a college tackle to shift to an NFL guard.
Well, I think the transition that worries me most about Dukas is he hasn't played a lot of football in his life, and he's coming from UMass. I mean, there's a big difference playing against UMass's schedule than Vince Wilfork. You know what I mean? I mean, it's going to be a massive change in the level of competition. His technique's not great to begin with. He hasn't been coached by big-time coaches. He hasn't been playing his entire life like the people he's going to go against. But, you know, much like we talked about with Fanica, he's between two very good players. Nick Maggle's the best center in this league, and DeBrickshaw Ferguson's an up-and-coming great left tackle. So that will help. It's also a very well-coached offensive line. That will help. But it's also an offensive line that doesn't have a lot of depth either way. So, you know, if it's an injury away, if he gets hurt, if he gets thrown into action before he's ready, I could see there being a decrease in production up front.
The Denver Broncos, my apologies. I'm looking at Brandon Marshall's name right now, which is why I said Denver Broncos. The Dolphins obviously made big moves with Brandon Marshall. They have Carlos Dansby, Tim Dobbins, and Richie Incognito were their key arrivals to that team. They also went very heavy on defense in the draft. I guess the question is, you know, you brought up the Jets having the best defense in this division right now. Are the Dolphins too young on defense?
A little bit. I don't love their defense right now. I might a year from now, you know, you lose your true stud nose tackle, Ferguson, for, I mean, he's not a stud, but he knows what he's doing. He's a solid NFL nose tackle. And you're forced now to move Starks over to nose tackle, and he was a very good defensive end. I actually think that makes you weaker at two positions up front. You know, the secondary is really young. I still don't see a great free safety to hang your hat on. I think there's some coverage liabilities on that end. Who's going to get after the passer? I have my worries here. I think Dansby's a nice addition. Don't get me wrong. You know, they need that playmaker on third down. They were big and slow and heavy at inside linebacker last year. He'll change that on every down. But I have worries at just about every spot on that defense. That being said, I like the offense better. I mean, if anyone's been listening to the podcast lately, we had Greg Cosell on a little while ago about with Chad Henne talk. I think he's ready to explode. And it's, you know, you throw a guy like Brandon Marshall into that mix, I very much agree that that offense is going to be much different looking. It's going to be pro style. They're going to throw. They're going to throw deep. They're going to throw to all levels. They're still going to have a really good running game. They have an up-and-coming quarterback. And I think they've one of the best offensive lines in the league. So I like them better on offense this year, but I like them less on defense. So to me, they're like an 8-8 team.
And just so you know, I feel the Patriots are probably similar. I think I've got the Patriots going 10-6 this season, but that's probably optimistic. I don't really like anything that they've done so far this offseason. It's just been sort of eh. It's like okay, eh.
Yeah.
And they're getting older, and I don't know. In the interest of moving on, we're going to move on.
Jay, the Bills are going to go 0-6 in that division.
Yeah, I really, it's funny. I tried to move on, but now you've brought me back.
I grabbed you.
I've been having a Facebook conversation with some of the fans, and I said that there's not one team that's going to go 2-0 against anybody in that division. They're all going to split, except for the Bills, who will lose to everybody twice.
Yeah, so I mean, it's tough to have a good year when you're 0-6 in the division.
In the NFC East, as I wrote here as my notes, still a toss-up division, but with all the movement, did the Cowboys and Giants get better just by staying pat?
I think Dallas did.
Okay.
Very much so. I think Dallas is clearly the best team in that division right now, and proved it last year, really. I mean, they un-Cowboy, un-Jerry Jones-like, stayed the course. You know, they said, we're pretty good. Let's not go make crazy changes. Let's live with what we got. And oh, by the way, we'll throw one of the most talented players in the draft in as another weapon for Romo. I mean, Romo's loaded with weapons right now, and I don't know what's not to like about that offense. You know, I still thought their two major needs on draft day were an offensive tackle and a free safety, and they really didn't address those, but I think they can get away with what they have because they're so strong everywhere else. I'm not buying Washington at all. You know, they're transitioning on defense. I think McNabb's slightly overrated from the system he came to from. You know, I think their offensive line is still a big problem. I don't yet trust their receivers, and I hate their running backs. So I get Shanahan's a massive upgrade from an offensive play calling standpoint and coaching everybody up. I just don't see very many good players on offense. And to me, they're clearly fourth in this division.
By the way, in regards to those wide receivers, ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter reporting that the Redskins have agreed to a deal with wide receiver Joey Galloway.
So what?
Yeah, that was just my response. What about the Giants and the Eagles here? I mean, the Eagles obviously going with the young quarterback. The Giants, much like the Cowboys, pretty much stayed pat. I mean, they added Entrell Roll, Deion Grant, and of course they had a draft. Where do you feel the Giants and Eagles rank up?
I like them both. I don't know that either one's a true contender. I like Philly's defense now, though. You know, I think that it's gone under the radar too much last year. What a huge loss Stuart Bradley was to that team. You know, he is a big, bad dude at middle linebacker that goes a long way. And they've really done quite a job of collecting these pass-rushing defensive end types. I think they're solid at defensive tackle. I think Brandon Graham very well could be the defensive rookie of the year. So, you know, I really like their front seven, what they're showing right now. I think they're well coached on that side of the ball. I think there was a little bit of a transition there with Jim Johnson's untimely death. You know, I think that weighed on people a little bit. The secondary isn't great, but I think it's good enough. And I'm a believer in Kevin Cobb on offense, too. I mean, I think they can still throw it all over the place. I think the line is pretty good, and I think they have some weapons in the backfield. They'll probably take a slight step back just from the quarterback position and some learning, you know, curve there. But I still think Philly's pretty strong. And, you know, you look at this organization, and I give them a lot of credit because they really rebuilt this year. They got rid of a lot of older guys and traded draft picks. You know, so obviously McNabb, but even guys like Kevin Curtis and, you know, Westbrook was a key component. They moved a lot of old salary in a year that they could get away with it. And turn them into draft picks. And this is going to be their rebuilding type year. But it wouldn't blow me away if they won the division. And it wouldn't blow me away if they got in the playoffs somehow. I think they're pretty strong. The Giants are sort of in the middle, too. I'm not sure if they're going up or down. I just can't wrap my hands around them. I didn't know if last year was a fluky year for them. Or, you know, are they declining? Or are they ready to bounce back? Was that a fluky year? I'm not sure. I think Eli Manning's on the rise. And I really like their receivers. I think Nix and Smith are going to be a really solid pair for these guys. I don't know that they'll run the ball like they used to. I don't trust Brandon Jacobs at all. I think the defense has to be improved, though. They're still very good football players there. They're going to be better coached on defense. They brought in more athleticism. So I would say they're probably better off than they were last year, especially how they finished last year. They were miserable to finish the year. But I don't have a great feel for that football team right now.
Moving on to the AFC South, where I've written Indy is king, but who's next? Who's next?
I don't know. I'm a believer in Tennessee, too, and I'm a believer in Houston. You know, I don't love the Tate kid that they picked up, but he fits their system really well, and he could be the last piece that that offense needs to be one of the very best in the league. And I think Schaub's really good. I think Andre Johnson's a complete superstar. They got great linebackers on defense. They're pretty solid on the defensive line and okay in the secondary. You know, I just don't see enough to get them over the hump, though. You know, this season, their offseason was kind of a wash. I would have liked to have seen them add one more guy, you know, add one safety or one corner or even a defensive end or something on the first or third level of defense to put this team one big step closer, and I didn't see it this offseason. So I kind of think they're going to be where they've been, and like a 9-7, 8-8, slowly ascending football team.
Well, there is a safety out there, but he visited another AFC South team, and that's Darren Sharper, who took a visit to Jacksonville yesterday, according to a league source, and that report comes to us from Adam Schefter.
Yeah, you know, Paul Kuharsky asked me about this, too, and I quoted saying, I think he'd be a great fit in Jacksonville. They need him. You know, Reggie Nelson's a first-round bust, but maybe he can hang out and learn in the meeting room from an all-time great who might be a Hall of Fame-type guy. Certainly a need. I think it's a need for both those teams. But the question with Sharper is, how healthy is he? I mean, if he was 100%, don't you think he'd have been signed by now? And why is New Orleans letting him go? Mm. What don't we know here? You know, so he had a great year. But he's the type of guy that if he loses one more step, all of a sudden he could fall off the planet, you know?
Jacksonville also released their big defensive tackle, John Henderson. He was scheduled to visit with the Chiefs on Tuesday. What do you think of this move?
For Kansas City?
Well, for anyone. I mean, I frankly would have a uniform waiting for John Henderson. Is he done?
I don't think he's done. I think he's a durability risk who at times doesn't give you everything he's got. I don't think he's nearly what he was when it was Henderson and Stroud being those monsters in the middle of that defense. He is no longer a pass rusher. But if you look at him as, hey, he can be a run plugger for us. You know, Paul asked me about him, too. What about him to Houston and put him next to a guy like Okoye? Just be big and eat space. I think he can do that. I don't know that he's a 3-4 nose. Maybe he's a 3-4 end in the Aaron Smith mold of, you know, just being big and powerful and eating up space in there. But not as good as Smith, obviously. But I think he still has a role in this league. I'd like to see him somewhere where you could use him as a wave player, two down, and to a contender. You know, maybe like the Saints.
That is very interesting.
That'd be a good fit.
One more note here in the South. Chris Johnson apparently skipping the OTAs, according to the Tennessean. He wants a new contract. In January, he told the Tennessean he'd like to be the league's highest paid offensive player. That's probably not going to happen.
No.
He's probably going to show up, but this is something to keep an eye on, I guess, to watch and see if it becomes more of a problem.
This could be hairy, and I love Chris Johnson. I think he's a great football player right now, but if he loses, you know, he's a 4.25 guy, you know, in the 40, and plays like it, and he's more than that. He's a much better running back than people give him credit for in terms of sticking his nose in their instincts, you know, when to go and when not to, setting up blocks, all those things. But still his best asset is speed. You know, whenever it's bound to happen, is someday he's going to turn into a 4.4 guy, and then he's going to turn into a 4.5 guy. And then I think he's going to be an average football player. And, you know, you just can't keep that speed, you can't keep that explosiveness at that position for a really long time. So, you know, you look at, like, an Adrian Peterson. I think Adrian Peterson is going to be great even when his body starts to fail him a little bit, you know. Tomlinson kept it around for a little while. I mean, the greats do that. But he's just not big enough or have enough to be great 5 years from now when he's a 4-5 flat guy. So what do you invest in a player like that? But you can't live without him either. You know, he's on top of his game right now. He holds all the cards in the bargaining world. So I think this really could get hairy. And if he was to get paid like, you know, a top quarterback, that's never going to happen. You know, running backs are still replaceable, but you need this guy on this team. And you got to like what Tennessee did the second half of the season. You know, that offense is in pretty good shape. I'm starting to become a believer in Vince Young. I wasn't. You know, I thought they did a very good coaching job with him, making his life easy. They got a great line. Chris Johnson makes a lot of problems go away. So you got to get him locked up, but he needs to be realistic about it, too.
We move to the NFC South, where I made this joke last week, too. With bad news for the Saints, Drew Brees is on the cover of Madden 11. We all know about the curse of John Madden.
Yeah, don't draft Brees in your fantasy draft. He's not going to do anything this year.
No. what I want to talk about, though, here in the NFC South is the fall of Jimmy Clausen to the Carolina Panthers, and Mackenzie sends us an email. Everyone loves the Clausen pick for Carolina, but I'm disappointed. The Panthers have a glaring need at defensive tackle, and in a deep defensive tackle draft, they didn't draft a single one. Not only that, but the quarterbacks in next year's draft are great, and there's plenty of them. Everyone thinks Clausen will be good, but not great. Am I wrong for thinking that drafting Clausen was a mistake?
I don't think it was a mistake, but I feel like this franchise has completely cashed it in for this upcoming season, you know.
I'm looking right now at all the key arrivals, key departures for the team.
Do they have any good key arrivals?
Ed Johnson is their key arrival.
Woo.
I mean, other than that, it's Marcus Hudson, Aaron Francisco, and Jamar Williams via trade.
Right. You know, we talked to John Beeson the other day, and you know, you mentioned there's Kimiatu gone, there's Peppers gone, there's Damian Lewis gone. I mean, it's such a long list. I just feel like this organization is going in the tank this year. Let's go get guys, some younger guys, for Bill Cowher 2 years from now, and let John Fox have a terrible year. Don't bring him back, and go from there. And I see them competing with Tampa Bay to be the worst team in this division, and maybe really having the wheels fall off, because I don't know how morale could be real high in that building right now. You know, they do have some assets. They can run the ball against anybody, but you know, you talked about Clausen originally. I like the pick because if you can get a potential starting quarterback with his pedigree and his abilities at that stage of the draft, I wouldn't blame any team for doing it. Indy, New England, anybody. I mean, I get why any team would pull the trigger on him, but I hope they don't flush Matt Moore. I mean, I think Matt Moore has done good things when given the opportunity, but he's never been given the opportunity. And this goes back to a major mistake John Fox made last year, was he had to get Matt Moore in there in week three. You know, there's just not enough tape on Moore to say he's our guy. But there might have been if you realize that Jake DeLone was only throwing the ball to the other team, you know, which everybody else seemed to get, but Fox didn't. So I just don't think anything ends well in Carolina right now.
Again, looking at all the key arrivals, key departures, there weren't a lot of key arrivals for any of these teams in the NFC South. So unless the hypothetical Madden curse does befall Drew Brees, I mean, I think it's safe to assume that this division could end the exact same way as it ended last year.
Yeah, which it never does. This right. division always turns upside down. But I was very high on Atlanta a year ago, before the season. And I still think they can be quite good, but I don't know that they can keep up with the Saints. You know, the Saints are awfully strong, but I wasn't real fond of the Saints offseason either. Yeah, you know, I didn't love their draft. I would have loved to have seen them go get, you know, a big-time run-stuffing defensive tackle. They didn't. You know, I think they actually got worse at linebacker, and they weren't very good there to begin with. So, you know, their offseason wasn't without their warts either. So, who's to say, but they're still awfully good, and they're going to score a lot of points no matter what.
We move now to the NFC North. We refuse to talk about number four in Minnesota. We still have a ban on that sort of discussion.
He's coming back.
I assume he is as well. We will keep an eye on the Packers, and we're watching the Lions grow up in front of our eyes. However, with this particular story, and we've brought this up before with you, and you seem to think that you agree with what I'm about to say here and with what Pac-Man says, is Pac-Man says Detroit would be a great fit for him, according to the Detroit Free Press. He said, quote, "I can't even put it in words how much I want to get back. I would love to just play football, period, but I think Detroit would be a great fit." Jones even texted Lions coach Jim Schwartz a day or two ago. Schwartz was his defensive coordinator at Tennessee. I don't know. That's my response to that.
What's yeah, I mean, you don't have a lot invested in him. You're not going to give him the farm or anything, but I think he can still play. You know, they're so bad at corner. If Schwartz is considering it, I condone it, because he knows them better than anyone. And if he thinks Pac-Man's going to come in there and rock the ship and be a terrible influence, then you don't sign him. You know, obviously, they're not, you know, one okay corner away from going to the Super Bowl. We know that. They're making a lot of strides. I've loved what they've done since this new regime showed up. I think they're vastly improved than that 0-16 team from 2 years ago, and it's not even close. But I could see bringing in Pac-Man. It wouldn't be the end of the world to me. But, you know, they brought in guys like VandenBosch. They brought in a lot of high-character players. So if they didn't go that direction, I would understand it too. He's not a difference maker, but he would probably start for them if he's close to the player he was when he hung it up. And it's a massive need. So I get it, but, you know, I also don't get it. You know, I'm really on the fence about that. You know, before it was like, hey, he can help you, go get him. But now it's like they're a lot better, and they're not quite as weak at corner as they were. The pass rush should be improved, which is going to help the back end. Delmas is better in the year two, and he's a heck of a player at safety. So maybe you can just get away and say, Pac-Man, go on your way, and you're more work than you're worth. So I'm kind of wishy-washy.
Lions are vastly improved, but do we have them higher than the Green Bay Packers?
No. No.
Or would they be higher than the Minnesota Vikings without number four?
Perhaps.
Are they higher than the Chicago Bears?
I think so.
Talk about the Bears.
They're another team that's a little bit like the Giants to me, in that I don't know if they're getting better or worse, but they're also sort of like the Panthers to me, in that they're absolutely living for today. Well, they're the opposite of the Panthers, I'm sorry. They're absolutely living for today, knowing that they have a chance of getting fired, where the Panthers are pretty much cashing it in for today, thinking, you know, it's over, we're going to live for tomorrow. Mike Martz and Jay Cutler, to me, couldn't be any more different. And I just don't see that going well at all. You know, Martz has a good track record, but Cutler's such a different quarterback than a Bolger or a Warner, a precise, you know, thinker that is going to drop the ball in soft. Cutler's a gunslinger, and I think you need to let him go. I mean, he's reeled in a little bit from those crazy interceptions and all that last year, but that, I thought he took too much heat for that. I thought his supporting cast let him down a lot. There was zero running game. Matt Forte was a shell of himself. That line was awful. So I just don't see the Martz Cutler dynamic working out. But they have to be better on defense. You know, Urlacher comes back, add Peppers. You know, it's a pretty solid, it's not a difficult scheme to learn. You know, they're going to play a lot of cover two, and they have better football players than they did a year ago. So they could be a surprise team if the Cutler-Martz dynamic works out. Maybe both those guys realize that, hey, we really need each other. This is the end of the line for both of us in a way. Let's get it done. And they work out harmoniously. But I just don't see it. When times go bad, I just don't think the Cutler-Martz dynamic is going to work. And I could see that really blowing up and getting them all fired.
Before we move on real quick, just going to give some props to the Chicago superfan Ed Barrientos, who nailed the Bears' top pick in the draft, third round, Major Wright. Not bad, considering 74 players were chosen before him. I would agree, Ed. That was pretty good. Good luck defending your superfan status. He says he's moving to Denver. So that could play against him.
Yeah, how could that help? You got to stick with your roots.
It's not going to help, but, you know, the fact that he nailed the draft pick in three rounds is pretty good. In the AFC North, Pittsburgh still reeling with the Big Ben fallout. Can Baltimore take advantage of this? Did the Bengals do enough to stay in contention in the division that they won last season? And did Cleveland get any better? Those are all the questions I have for the AFC North. Discuss.
This is the hardest division for me. You know, whenever we're going to pick division winners and ranking these teams, the three teams at the top to me are still really close. And I know Ben's been suspended six games. I think he'll end up sitting four. And I don't think it's unrealistic at all for the Steelers to go 2-2 in that time and then come back and, you know, be a force once again. And I'm going to sound like a homer here, but you add Troy Polamalu and Aaron Smith to that defense, I think they might have the best defense in the league. I think they're going to be a vastly underrated defense going into the season. I think they're going to be right there with the Jets as an elite defense. And I think they're ready to be tremendous again on that side of the ball. And if you can do that, you're going to be tough to beat against anybody. And I think their running game and especially their offensive line is going to improve. And this is where I'm going to sound like a homer, but I think Ben's going to have a good year. I mean, I actually think he's going to rededicate himself to the sport.
You are going to sound like a homer, because who's he throwing to? I mean, we know.
Well, I think he's going to play better at the
quarterback. Our favorite wide receiver.
I always keep my head on the swivel.
But, I mean, that's it.
That was my next thing to say, though, is I worry about the weapons. I think Heath Miller is a very good tight end. I think Ward's fine. I think Wallace is an up-and-coming player. I think they'll get better play from the quarterback position, but less production from the passing game in general. But it won't be number seven's fault so much. You know, they still need another weapon, and I don't see the Steelers scoring a ton of points. You know, where you look at Baltimore, that offense is awfully good. You know, I think that offense has a chance to be really good now. You add Bolden, they could already run on anybody. A guy like Ray Rice is only going to get better, especially as a receiver. I think Flacco's a legit starting quarterback in this league. He didn't finish the season well at all, but I think they have the best offense in the division. I actually think the defense is slightly declining. You know, there's a lot of age issues there. They addressed it in the draft, but are those rookies ready to come in and really make an impact? I think corner is still a problem for them. So I think they'll be better on offense than they will on defense. And the Bengals are sort of all the above. You know, I don't really trust Carson Palmer anymore. I feel like I'm the first one saying that, but I need to see more from this guy than I have the last couple years. But they have so many more weapons now. That passing game was clearly what held them back last season. And now it shouldn't. But there's also so many combustible elements to that football team, too. You know, Antonio Bryant, Ocho Cinco, how are they going to, you know, collaborate together? And you throw a rookie tight end in. And, you know, it's just, they're still the Bengals to me. And I don't know that they're ready to be an elite football team. When the chips are down, can you trust them? But they're pretty good on both sides of the ball. You know, they have a lot of talent on defense that really is up and coming. Guys like Malaluga and Rivers, and they're very well coached on that side of the ball. I don't know what to make of those three teams right now, and I need more time before I can make my AFC North predictions. I'm not sure, but I know the Browns are last. I absolutely know the Browns are last.
I want to ask you this question because you're a scout. You've been in you've been involved in drafts and things of that nature with the Browns. SI.com says that Mike Holmgren told them he pulled a rank to draft Colt McCoy. That sounds like to me that the scouts did not want to draft Colt McCoy. So is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't think it matters. I don't know that it's either, to be honest with you. I thought I was on Cleveland radio last week answering the same question, and I thought, I'm not a Colt McCoy fan. You know, we were doing that cover live, and I was really bashing him. You know, that he should never fall this far. I'm like, well, yeah, this is where he should go, because he is not physically gifted. He doesn't throw the football very well. He isn't very big. I don't know that he's going to be able to withstand the punishment at this level. He's going to take a lot of hits, and I think he could really have durability issues. So, you know, you match that with the weather and the conditions he's going to play with in Cleveland, and I don't think he's a good fit. But the other side of the coin is, if he's going to be successful, it's going to be in a home run West Coast, get it out quick, be smart, accurate, short passing game, which is exactly what he's going to. So I think he's got big negatives in this situation and big positives. But that's perfect for a third-round pick. You know, where they got him, I'm fine with that. You know, if they were to use the pick earlier on that early second-round pick, I would have bashed it. But from where you got him, it's worth it. It's nice to have some hope, at least this year, at the quarterback position. I mean, I think there's a great chance that they're going to be 2-8 at some point. And at that, you know, why have DeLone behind center at that point? At least give McCoy the end of the season or the second half of the season to see what you have, so you can analyze things for next year. You know, when I think they'll be picking high once again. You know, their passing game, though, I think is going to be maybe the worst in the entire league. You know, who are their receivers? Who's their quarterback? I don't like their passing game at all. So I think everyone just stacks a run, comes after DeLome, and he throws like 50 picks this year.
We move to the AFC West. We'll finish up with them. And the reason why I put this division last is because, in my opinion, I think this division is irrelevant. I don't think that there's any team that's really going to do much of anything. The Chargers are going to win by default, and then they're going to lose in the first round of the playoffs like they always do.
Yeah, if I were a betting man, I think I would say the same thing, that certainly they're going to win this division, but I don't know that they're good enough to win it all, and what track record's really shown us that they're capable of that. You know, they added Ryan Matthews, though, and I think their running game is going to improve. Not that I love Matthews, but I think he's a heck of a lot better than LaDainian Tomlinson, and it wouldn't shock me one bit if they had the best offense in the league next year. I mean, their offense should be great. I mean, it really should be great.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of that depends on how healthy their offensive line can stay.
Yeah, but North Turner's traditionally done a very good job of getting an awful lot out of average offensive linemen and keeping his quarterback upright in particular and knowing when to keep people in and diagnosing blitzes and those type of things. Plus, Rivers reads things really quickly, too. You know, I think they're still clearly the team in that division. I think the defense is average. I mean, I think it's right in the middle. If we had to rank 32 defenses, they would probably be 15. You know, they're right in the middle. But that's good enough to win that division. All the other teams, I think the Raiders have to be improved, you know, just because of the quarterback position. I love the pickup of Campbell. I think he legitimizes the quarterback position for the first time in forever. They should be able to run the ball still. They have some developing weapons. The defense is, you know, once again, average. So I think the Raiders will be a 6-10 type team, but more respectable in doing so. I still think Kansas City's a long way away. You know, I did like their draft. I think they improved, but not enough to be any better than a 6-10 type team. And I think Denver's a 6-10 type team. You know, whenever we did the power rankings, I didn't think any of those teams were absolute garbage. You know, I didn't think that they were the worst teams in the league. I mean, the Chiefs were down on my list, but it wouldn't shock me if they were a 5-6, you know, overall pick next year, or, you know, 8-9, right in that range. And it showed some improvement. But all these teams, to me, are sort of like you said, they're sort of inconsequential. I don't think Denver's good enough to really light it up. You know, they lost too many good players.
And there you go. Listen, when you're irrelevant, we're not going to talk about you.
Yeah, we'll just move on.
Sorry, you AFC West fans. We'll have more, obviously, on the AFC West. You can blame Eric Carabel because he's here to do the next podcast, which is really why we're moving on from the AFC West. So send your emails to him. But we'll have more on the AFC West as the season comes up. Send your emails to footballtoday@espnradio.com. Obviously, we'll get to those in the coming weeks. We're gonna have some podcasts here, probably once a week, probably on Thursdays. And, we're gonna need your emails, and we're gonna have some good stuff planned for you. We'll do more with, like we did with quarterback coach Tom Martinez and, with your friend, Greg Cosell, Matt. And,
X and O it up a little bit.
What's that?
X and O it up a little bit.
Oh, definitely. This is now the time of the year where we can do more of that sort of thing. And we'll probably have the bloggers on here too, get them going head to head with some of their debates, that they'll be drumming up as well.
Yeah. I was thinking too, if there's listeners and emailers out there that have some requests of things they want, shoot it in. You know, we can make things happen like that.
Now is the time.
Now's the time.
So, and we'll have our super fan showdowns most likely coming up. In the next couple months or so.
That guy from Arizona, if I have any say, isn't getting it. That's all I care about. All the other guys are cool. 31 of them can repeat, but that other guy, he's got no shot.
So that's it for today's show. Remember, footballtoday@espnradio.com, and there you have it.
The music provided on today's show is from Mevio's Music Alley, Will Chryski's Metal Mayhem. Check it out at music.mevio.com. For more football talk, be sure to check out Football Tonight, Monday through Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPNradio.com.